So we have these words from Jesus, and we really can't get away from them. Jesus lifts up a story about a guy cooking the box's books. Jesus sets this guy up as an example. That has got to teach us something. Something deeper, because it just doesn't seem right. You can't use this as an ethical story about how we're supposed to live our lives. This is deeper than that. This week, we are on week two of our sermon series, Earn, Save, Give, based on a study by Jim Harnish. And we're doing it at this time of year because our strategy for budgeting is that we have our stewardship campaign about now, when everybody's here. And we don't set a budget before we find out what our income's going to be. Just like you, at your house, you pretty much know your income before you set your budget. If you don't, there's another story about that in the Bible. So we find out what our giving is going to be on February the 11th. Folks will ask you on Commitment Sunday to tell us what kinds of ballpark you're going to be in for your pledge, and we'll collect those and we'll total those. And for about 6 weeks, we'll keep a running total. And after that, our finance team will go about setting the high end of what our budget can be based on what our giving is projected to be. It allows us to live inside our means. It puts us in a position where we don't have to worry about some upcoming crisis is going to crush us and we'll stop being able to be the church. But it allows us to set some goals and some priorities. The more generous we can be, the more we can do in the kingdom. It is really weird to be a preacher and gets to stand up and say, earn all the money you can, realizing that I can't earn all the money I can. Because I wouldn't be a good steward if I tried to milk the congregation for all it's worth. It wouldn't allow the church to exist in the future if I tried to squeeze every penny out for myself. And so I'm telling you to earn all you can, but Laura and I are saying, here's where we're at. We love being at this church. This is, I made different, more money doing other things. But I recognize that as part of my responsibility as the leader of discipleship of your spiritual life, that I get to talk to you about money. And not just as a guy who's trying to increase his salary. Because to be quite honest, if we got enough money in, I wouldn't increase my salary, but I'd hire a children's director. We have dreams. If somebody gives us a bunch of money, we're going to do things that fit into a big strategy of moving forward. The reason I use this particular piece of scripture, though, is because John Wesley used this particular piece of scripture for his main stewardship sermon. Wesley wrote, he's known for these 53 sermons. There are 53 weeks in a year. I don't know whether he did the same one every first Sunday of the year, but he had 53 sermons that he preached over and over and over. And this one was called The Use of Money. And Wesley talked about earning all you can by using this particular story in Scripture. Jesus is not calling us to be like the dishonest manager and cheat our bosses. He is calling his followers to be wise in their work and wise in their management of their money, as this guy was. Last week we said we all need more wisdom as we deal with our finances. Sometimes the correct solution is not more money, but more wisdom. Wesley uses this parable to teach biblical wisdom about the use of money, beginning with the bold declaration that money is an excellent gift from God. So today, my whole purpose is to stand up here and tell you that money is good. You knew that, right? Money is an excellent gift from God. It's not the money itself that's... There is a phrase in there that some folks misinterpret. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil. But sometimes we lose that. The point we're trying to make is that It's the use of money that can be either good or evil. It's the desire for money that can be either good or evil. Wesley advises us all to earn all we can. And then he provides some guidelines that are just as practical today as they were in the 18th century. So, let me say really clearly, money is not evil. Our wise use of money allows us and our resources to be an excellent gift from God. It allows us to be an excellent gift from God. It means our money can be an excellent gift from God. God's people's financial wisdom is not a contradiction to our faith, but an expression of our faith. So Wesley says in his sermon, he's got these subheadings that he then explains at greater length. One of them is, gain all you can by honest industry. Use all possible diligence in your calling. And then he goes on to rant about people who are lazy. So part of what Wesley is saying is, work hard. Be diligent. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your time. Every once in a while he says something like, don't throw your money into the sea. Be wise. Use all possible diligence in your calling. And he says, gain all you can by common sense. And he says, gain all you can without paying more for it than it is worth. Well, that helps gain all you can. Essentially, he's saying, though, there are boundaries to gaining all you can. You don't get to cheat, folks. You don't exploit your family or your neighbor or your community or your health. Although we know folks who have got lost on their chase for money who end up having health issues because they work nonstop day and night. Is that just me? Do you know folks like that too? Do you know anybody who lost their spouse or their family because they were so focused on the money? You guys don't watch enough American Greed. You actually should really should watch that show, man. Wesley says, earn in ways that honor God. In this way, we are not putting wealth before God. If we earn in ways that honor God, then our priority has already been set to honor God. I believe that everybody's work is a gift from God and it is part of your calling. That all of us are called. Not just preachers, not just missionaries, but teachers are called. Musicians are called. Engineers are called. Everybody in their vocation. Now, if you're doing something that rubs you the wrong way, maybe it's because you're just following the money and not your calling. Earn in ways that honor God. If there's one phrase to remember today, the preacher said, earn all you can in ways that honor God. A couple of years ago, I heard this crazy story. I thought it scared me to high heavens. A church in our conference had to give back money to a particular overseer of a court case. It turns out that a generous donor to one of the larger churches in the conference worked at a firm that also had somebody else in the firm who was making his money by doing a Ponzi scheme. And when he was caught in the Ponzi scheme, it meant all of the ill-gotten gains had to get collected by the person that's in charge of restoring justice. And because that partner, not somebody who was participating in the Ponzi scheme, had given money to the church, that agency came to the church and knocked on the door and said, we want that money back. I don't check and see what you did in order to make money to give to the church. Do I now have to keep up with that? Please don't make me do that. Wesley would say that we have to do responsible, kingdom-building, God-honoring work in our pursuit of money. So cheating others, ripping other folks off. There are times when I'll go to an establishment that's local and I want to keep in business, and their price may be a little higher, but I'll be darned, I want them in business in my community. And so I don't mind paying extra. I've had other places that didn't know the value of their goods, and all of a sudden, about 6 months into their business, they had to close up shop and leave. And I was trying to get them, you need to charge us a little bit more. It's ice cream. Charge us a little bit more so you can stay open. But they didn't charge enough, and now we had no ice cream shop in Land O'Lakes. That's sad. So we want to do the kinds of business in the right kinds of way that allows us to have honorable, hardworking economics. I'm telling you today, work hard. Make lots of money. I'm also telling you today, you don't stop there. And you'll notice that in Wesley's sermon that says, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, it doesn't say spend all you can. And that's where the pushback to our culture is, because sometimes the most fun part of the system, if we're not careful, ends up being spending. So I invite you to adjust your place where you get joy to the give and purchase a water filter for Cuba. And see if that's not better for you than a new set of cabinets. How is it that we can be wise in doing the things that allow us to live our life as part of the calling? Greed is not good. Did you see the movie Wall Street? Some of you weren't born yet. In the late 80s, early 90s, there was a movie Wall Street. Michael Douglas played. Sheen was in it, right? So Michael Douglas plays this Wall Street tycoon, and he makes this grand speech, and the first line of his speech is, greed is good. Greed is not good. Daily bread. What I need, not what I want. There are limits. We must set priorities. It means that we have to, as folks are taught to maximize profits and other folks are taught to pay yourself first, you also have got to realize there's limits in that. We must set priorities. Because when we set priorities that include God first, then all the money we bring in becomes a resource for God's kingdom. If not, we begin loving money more and more and prioritizing money more and more. And it seduces us to wanting more and more stuff. And people who have got a thing for money, they never, ever are satisfied. So learning the difference between want and need and where is enough. Have you had to grapple with the balance of God and money? Make choices about money and family? Money and spouse? Have you watched others who have lost family or spouses or walked away from God because they got so focused on money? It is hard in our culture that is counting on everybody's spending. There are people who have worked hard all their lives and don't have very much money, and there are other folks who haven't worked very hard at all who have plenty. I know that it's not an easy thing. But Wesley took a shot at those folks who were being lazy, and I guess Solomon's day, there were lazy people too, because Solomon in Proverbs says, laziness brings poverty, hard work makes one rich. Proverbs 6 says, go to the ant, you lazy bones, consider its ways and be wise. Use the ant as an example, you lazy person. Consider its ways and be wise without having any chief or officer or ruler. It prepares its food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O lazy bones? When will you rise up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed warrior. What change in our behavior would it motivate us differently if we saw all of our work as a calling from God? Do you see your work as your calling from God? Every bit of activity and every dollar you earn as a mission from God with God kind of purpose behind it? And maybe you don't, unless we think about it right here, but I want you to consider what the world would be like if all Christ followers consider their vocation and their earnings to be an excellent gift and part of their calling from God. I want to close with rereading the story from the Message Bible. Eugene Peterson takes a little bit of liberty to try to make it clear for us to understand. Listen, close your eyes. Listen. Jesus said to his disciples, "There once was a rich man who had a manager. He got reports that the manager had been taking advantage of his position by running up huge personal expenses. So he called him in and said, 'What's this I hear about you? You're fired, and I want a complete audit of your books.' The manager said to himself, 'What am I going to do? I've lost my job as manager, and I'm not strong enough for a laboring job, and I'm too proud to beg. Oh, I got a plan. Here's what I'll do. Then when I'm turned out into the street, people will take me into their houses.' Then he went at it. One after another, he called in the people who were in debt to his master. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 jugs of olive oil. The manager said, 'Here, take your bills, sit down there. Quick now, write 50. To the next he said, "And you, what do you owe?" 100 sacks of wheat. Take your bill, write in 80. Now here's a surprise. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to be creative in your survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials, so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just getting by on good behavior." Jesus went on to make these comments: "If you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? No worker can serve two bosses. He'll either hate the first and love the second, or adore the first and despise the second. You can't serve both God and the bank." Let us pray. Lord, help us to see our lives as a calling from you, that all of our walk is following you. You came and you said, "Follow me." Let us follow you in the way we work, in the way we fellowship with each other, in the way we serve each other, and the way we change the world. Let us follow you, so that your kingdom might not be something that's far off and only in heaven, but it can be here and now, and your people on earth might make your kingdom come now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.